John chapter 6, beginning with verse 24. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. So, how many people here bake bread? Okay, put your hand up here a little higher again. Somebody write these names and addresses down for me. There's nothing like homemade bread. Wow. Only thing good as homemade bread would be finding a loaf of that on my office desk. Oh, I'm just throwing that out there, you know. I grew up in a home that always smelled like homemade bread. My mom always baked. Oh, my. All kinds of sizes, different sizes, loaves of bread and dinner rolls and cinnamon rolls. And I'd help her. You know, there was five of us kids. My one brother didn't come along till a long time later, but I'd always help mom with her baking, baking cakes, baking cookies for Christmas, but especially bread. You know, you had to put it in there and let it rise and punch it down and let it rise, and it would sit, and then bake it. And I would be there with the brush and the butter. She'd bring it out, and I'd get the butter, everything. Man. And you know, a loaf of homemade bread, you had to turn it on its side to cut it right. On it on its side, when you had the bread knife. Ours was a plastic white handle with a jagged, serrated edge on one side and a wavy edge on the other. That was the bread knife. So, and you had to cut it at just the right thickness. It's not as easy as it sounds, because if you wanted to put it in the toaster, it couldn't be too thin or it would crumble. Couldn't be too thick or it'd get stuck or it wouldn't go in at all. But once you got it sliced just right, and it would pop up, and you'd cover it with butter, and then peanut butter, and then jelly, and then dunk that in milk, and homemade bread sucks up the milk quick. Oh, yes. How many of you have been to Olive Garden? Oh, that bread you get, all the bread you want. I tell you, another place I think is just as good for the bread is Bob Evans. Oh, there's at least four different kinds of breads you can choose from, the biscuits or the dinner rolls or the banana nut bread, and they usually have one other kind. And they'll bring you a mixed basket if you want it. And when you get done, you can just keep asking for bread. It's Bread is so good, isn't it? Oh, my. Nothing like it. Bonnie loves a good biscuit. She loves a nice biscuit. Oh, my. Bread. We're going to probably go on to Olive Garden. I think either there or Bob Evans today. Yeah, we're going to have to do that. You know that bread smells so good, I think they should bottle that so people can wear it like cologne or perfume. I think it would be a good smell on somebody, you know. I'd follow them all over the place. Well, that's nice. If you want to cuddle up to your train, you go right ahead, Fritz. I know you can buy candles that do that. But anyways, biblically speaking, now that we've spent all this time on bread, biblically speaking, bread was a very important symbol. Bread signified life. It signified everything that you needed to survive. You know, it was much more than just a wheat byproduct. It was everything you needed to survive. Bread is used so often throughout the Bible. The Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Now, Jesus said that man does not live on bread alone because you need other nutrition. But give us this day our daily bread means give us what we need to survive. But that means even more than we might think it does. The children of Israel, when they were getting ready to leave Egypt to go out into the wilderness, first Passover, right? Eat the lamb, make unleavened bread to take with you. And bread in the Far East especially was very dark because it was full of nutrition. A lot of the bread we get today, like white bread that you buy at the store, it's like hardly any nutritional value to it. It just holds all the good stuff together. But they also had, when Jesus fed the thousands of people, bread, barley loaves in this case. When the children of Israel were out wandering the desert, manna, bread from heaven. I mean, when Jesus sat down to celebrate the Passover meal with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, where we get communion from, he broke bread, gave it to his disciples. And so what does he tell the people? When they said, "Where, Jesus, where have you been? We've been following you and seeking after you." He says, "Oh, you're not seeking after me. You want more of the food that I gave you, more of the bread that I gave you." He says, "But I'm offering you bread that will give you eternal life. You'll never get hungry again. You'll never be thirsty again if you have this bread from heaven." And they say, "Give that to us." And he says, "I am the bread of life." Bread. Jesus is the bread that sustains us. Jesus is the bread that we need more than anything else. I used to always think of give us this day our daily bread as give us this day the roof over our heads, the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, money in our pockets, give us all that stuff that we need. And I came to realize that's not what it means. Because there's a lot of people that don't have that stuff. There are people who are born into this world and they're filled with disease from the time they're born to the time they die. They're born with birth defects from the time they're born to the time they die. They're born into an abusive home from the time they're born to the time they die. They're born into a crime-ridden neighborhood. They're born into a war-torn community, just war all around them from the time they're born to the time they die. We can't talk about life being any worse for some people. And yet what they need, what you and I need, is not a roof over our heads, clothes that we wear, food that we eat. It's not rules and regulations. It's not even friends. It's not even good health. What they need and what we need is the bread of life, is salvation. Because there's nothing in this whole world more important than salvation. God knows that we're going to live forever, you and I. God knows that this world is not our home, and we need to realize that too. And what we need is the bread of life. And Jesus is that bread of life. Nobody else. We have to take it beyond, oh, I know Jesus is the bread of life. You know, we learned that in Sunday school. But what does that mean to you? Who is Jesus to you? What does it mean to eat this bread of life? Well, we read from Ephesians. As a prisoner for the Lord then, Paul's saying, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. If you eat the bread of life, if you're coming up here today for communion, then you've received a calling on your life. And it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Bear with one another in love. Put up with other people's ignorance. Put up with other people's weaknesses. Somebody hurts you, turn the other cheek. Bear with them in love. Be humble and patient. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's what it means to come to the altar table. That's what it means to partake of the bread of life. It means that we are different than the rest of the world. It means that we are to be difference makers. We don't live according to the world's rules anymore because we have partaken of the bread of life. Yeah. That's what it is for Jesus. He's what we need every day of our lives. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus said we have to take up our cross daily and follow him. Daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Take up your cross daily. That's the bread it's talking about. The true bread of heaven. The true bread of life. Jesus. Give us this day, Jesus. So we're about to partake of communion. We need to be in the right frame of mind, the right attitude. Jesus, as the true bread of life, died for us while we were yet sinners. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. But Jesus died for us because he loved us, even while we were sinners. And then he said, that which I did for you, do for others. Don't come to the table because you're hungry and you want to eat the bread. That's the wrong reason to take communion. And you will die spiritually. But come to the table with a heart of love, of gratitude, and forgiveness. The Bible tells us that if we hold anything against anybody, we should forgive them before we come to the table because we've been forgiven. We can't come to the table and say, thank you for setting me free, for saving me, and then turn around and choke our brother or sister and say, I won't forgive you. I'm angry at you. You owe me. Jesus set us free. We need to set each other free. So we need to confess our sins before Almighty God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, thank you for communion. Not only is it a reminder to us of whose we are, but it's a reminder to us that we are not of this world. And God, thank you for communion. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. And right now, God, we are going to repent of our sin. So with every head bowed and in this moment of silence, confess your sin unto God. Confess to God that anger, that hurt, that pride, that self-righteousness. that lust, confess it to God, that lying and that gossiping, cheating, stealing, confess it to God. And dear Heavenly Father, forgive us. Fill us with a truly heavenly repentant spirit for our sins and our sinful ways this day. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.